you got two men. We got one man has $11 million. There's nobody in here. Well, I don't think. You got another man on this side. He has 11 children. Who do you think is the most content? 11 children. You know why? Because he don't want no more. He's content. He's content. But I actually heard that from a preacher. So anyway, I guess y'all can kind of consume. We're going to talk about contentment today a little bit. And the good part and the bad part. The good, the bad, and the ugly, I call it. So go ahead and turn when we, Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 10 through 13. When y'all look, excuse me, when y'all looking that up, I got a couple questions that I asked yesterday in the men's breakfast. I want you just to embed this in your mind as we're going through today. Where is your daily walk with the Lord heading to? Where is your walk with the Lord heading to? I did this on purpose, reverse order. First of all, to answer that question, you got to answer the first one. Do you have a daily walk with the Lord? So do you have a daily walk with the Lord? If you do, where is that walk heading to? Now, the next question, are you in step? Is your daily walk in step with Jesus Christ? I want you to ponder on those. Those are very important questions. Very important questions. And so your testimony of your faith. So I want you to keep those in mind as we get through the day. And just so happened on the front of your bulletin, Lamentations 3:22-23, what it said, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because of his compassions fail not. That's what I'm getting at, the second part here. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Your walk with the Lord, see, he just gave you a promise here. His fresh every morning. So in order to tap into that, so to speak, you got to have a daily walk with the Lord. And we're going to talk about contentment. Last week, we talked about worry, how it consumes us. We can let it consume us. And the key to all of this is to counteract some of this stuff. You got to have a daily walk with the Lord, not just now and then, okay? So let's read our scripture, if you're there. Philippians chapter 4, 10 through 13. He says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that is at least you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstance. There's that word content. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. He closes this, Paul talking to the Philippian church. Notice the content in every situation. That's where we need to be. Whatever the situation is, and we talked yesterday a little bit, and so if you ain't going through a problem right now, just hang on, you're fishing to. Okay, it's coming. And so we all got issues and stuff to deal with. But what is your contentment? Where are you at? Where's your walk with the Lord? Those you didn't know, content, just a basic definition, is a state of peaceful happiness. Now you may ask, I'm going through something bad, how can I be content and happy? Is it possible? It is. But you can't do it. I can't do it. The Lord Jesus Christ done it for you on the cross. And He is our guidance and our blueprint on how we handle situations, how we handle what we're going through. And we're also going to talk a little bit go ahead and just get the definitions out of the way. Serenity is another part, same as contentment pretty much. The state of being calm, peaceful, and untroubled. Untroubled. Whatever that, wherever you are right now, what's your contentment state now? If you know, it ain't going good right now, typically we're content. But it's when things start going south where we get messed up. So we're going to talk about the source of contentment, where we get our source from. Y'all probably know the answer to that somewhat. Christian contentment comes through the people of God, who support each other. Okay? In which in turn, where the people of God get it from is through God. Pretty simple. Through the power of God that gives a person strength, is the people that know God, that walk with God, that we need to lean on when we go through hard times, when we go through struggles, when we can't understand what's going on. And news for you, you may not ever understand why you're in the situation you're in. You may not, on this earth, may not never truly understand it. But where's your faith at? Were you walking with God? Or are you leaning on Him, through Him? So we know where the source comes from. And that always leads me into like one of my favorite things to do. So you know where the source comes from through God. And so if you got some avenues, prayer. How's your prayer life? You got Scripture. We got the whole, as all every bit of it right here. And you can call this a Bible, or you can call it God's truth, God's Word. There's nothing but truth in here. And there's nothing that you can't answer or get answered through God. Maybe not a complete answer on why, but an answer on how to get through it and move on to the next issue. Stay in God's Word. And we got to do that like we read on the front of the bulletin there. And the question I asked, what's your daily walk? If you don't have a daily walk, these things are going to hit you harder when things come down, when things happen. You've got a daily walk, it lightens the blow a little bit, so to speak. And I'm referencing all this, what we read in Philippians. So situational contentment, basically what Paul was saying, he said, in any and every situation, he's learned to be content. Now, if you read a lot of the New Testament about Paul, he went through a little bit and stuff. He's been through it. And he'd been through some good things, but a lot of bad. But he learned, he knew how to stay in line with Christ and stay in contentment. And here's the thing about contentment. It's not naturally, the flesh is not natural to us. It's a learned virtue we get. We can learn based on Christ through His Word. So it's a learned behavior. It's also, contentment is not dependent on the circumstance. Your contentment, no matter, you got to have contentment. You got to have learned contentment. Let me clear that up. You got to have learned how to have contentment in every situation like Paul did, no matter the circumstance. Do not let your circumstance determine your contentment. Let God do that. Let God's Word pour into you. Have that daily walk with Him. Be ready for those things. And it's a state of being, not doing. Contentment is a state you're in, not what you're doing. Does that make sense? Be content. Just be content. And I look, I told y'all how many times. And I preached this to myself long before I preached it to y'all. And I've done all these struggles. I've been through this. And like, that's hard. You know, okay. I've been in a situation where it's hard to find contentment. It's hard. But it needs to be a part of us. Don't look for it. It should be in you. It should be in us. We should be prepared in a learned situation like we talked about. Based on the riches of Christ, contentment is a choice cultivated by continually resisting the discontented spirit of the age. It is not happenstance. It just don't happen. How you handle your circumstance? How are you going to approach it? Are you going to go into it negative? Your attitude has a lot to do with it, of how you're going to handle those situations and that contentment. Then are you satisfied or are you sufficient? Is God going to answer and get you out of a situation the way you think? Not necessarily so. It might not be total happiness out of a situation and stuff. Because I'm sure everybody's experienced some stuff that affected your life that you never get over 100%. But you learn to content and move on. And that's what he's talking about. That's what Paul was saying. Have that contentment in every circumstance, no matter, and stuff. Not every issue you get into is going to be totally fixed, necessarily. You got to stay content. Satisfied, adequate. Trying to think of a different way the word is. So what I'm trying to say is contentment is not going to be just a happy fix all the time, but it's going to be an adequate fix. God's going to take care of you. He's going to provide for you. Your needs, not your wants. You know, we struggle with that sometimes. Well, I want this. Thank you, God, but can you give me more? Can I have a little bit more of that? We need to learn to be in the situation, be content with what he gave us. 1 Corinthians 12:9 tells us, but he said to me, this is Paul speaking. Let me back up. Before he says the statement I'm fixing to read, Paul had an ailment. He had something going on that he wanted God to take care of. Look what God told him. My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. So take your situation, take your weakness that you want God to wipe away, but just like Paul, he just, no, my grace is sufficient. Are you leaning on God instead of your own self, on your own fix? Are you trusting in his grace and giving that faith? Just think about it. When you get closer to God is usually when you're going through something. That's when we kind of lean on him a little more, right? And so the closer you get to God, and his grace is sufficient, he'll take care of it. Christian contentment is the God-given ability to be satisfied with the loving provision of God in any and every circumstance. You got a situation, you pray, and God, he gives you this, he does that. Be content, be happy with what he's done. Don't be greedy and want more. He may give you more at some point, but we need to learn to encompass what he provides for us and take it. 2 Corinthians 9:8 tells us, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. So look, let me get on my soapbox for a minute. You're not saved by works. You're saved to do works.
Amen.
Okay? And what he said right here at the end, I'll find it again. Abundantly, so God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, daily walk, having all that you need, he'll provide what you need, so you abound in every good work, in his work. So he's taking care of you, fixing you up, but not just to move on and do what you want to do, and to do what you're called to do. He can provide your need to take care of his work that you are saved to do. Your call. What is your call? What is your calling? We'll do a sermon on that one day. Do you know what your calling is? If you're a Christian, it should be yes. I don't know how more plain to put it. You might not understand it, might not totally get it, and guess what? Your calling also changes too. He's going to put you in situations to get you to where you're at. I'm a prime example of that. I didn't start right here in this pulpit. I had a long way, hard way, and a lot of it self-inflicted. I had a hard road to get here. Not necessarily real hard, like per se, but there's some decision. But so he will equip you if you turn it over and give it totally to him. Give it to him. Don't do it yourself. Like I said at the beginning, you cannot. Hang that up. And don't fix yourself before you get ready to come to church or do what he wants you to do. Let him fix you. And so put it right there at that cross. He's already done it. Now you're going to have some conflicts and some issues and you're going to have things going on, but the war is won. He done it all. And at the end, no matter what happens, we're victorious. So be content on what he has you to do and what he's called you to do. Now, like what 1 Timothy 6, chapter 6 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world. Now, you didn't bring nothing here. And we can take nothing out of it. My daddy told me all my life, he has never seen a hearse never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse. You ain't taking it with you. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation. Remember the $11 million guy I was telling you about at the beginning? And trap into foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into the ruin and destruction. Now, this is where a lot of people get hung up on. There's a key word here. For the love of money, not money, the love of money, is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So it's okay to have money. Guess what? It's okay not to have money, too, if you're in Christ. But the love of money. And not just money. I go take it a step further. Anything, listen to this, anything that puts a wedge between you and your relationship with God is a problem. Whatever that may be. Your job, your money, your girlfriends, whatever you... I'm just playing. So whatever. Whatever you got that puts a wedge between you and God is a problem. But those things in themselves are not wrong, as long as they don't mess your relationship up. Hebrews tell us, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. God got you where he wants you at right this moment. You might not be content with it, but you need to learn how to be. Because you ain't just, you like that in English? You ain't just here just by chance. You're here for a purpose. Every one of y'all are here for a purpose right now. God don't just throw you in things. You don't go through life just it is what it is. It's not. God has a plan, and he's guiding all that. This is what the good part is on this part, what I read. Keep your lives from free of money, love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. But God did his part. Jesus did his part. What are you doing? If there's a disconnect between you and God, guess whose problem that is? Yours. The devil. He put something to separate you from God. God is there. God ain't went nowhere. He's the same today as he was. Happiness is temporary and fleeting. Joy and contentment are eternal. I mean, y'all know that. Y'all been happy for a little while. You be sad for a little while. Depressed for a little while. Angry for a little while. Go through all these emotions. They're temporary. But joy and contentment are eternal. And we need to hang our hat on that. Remember, contentment is not by circumstance. It's that daily walking with God. We're talking about that's how you get true contentment. Learned contentment is learned through God and not by circumstances. Contentment is in all situations. I said before, and I keep saying it and stuff, be content when things are good too. And be content when they're bad. And remember the source. Reliance on God. Paul, when we went back to Philippians, what we started with, he concludes that ability to contentment comes from God's strength. From God's strength. Not your strength, God's strength. Suggesting that faith and reliance on God are essential for cultivating contentment. You want to grow it? Those you like to garden, you got to cultivate, you got to put a little time in it. Same here. You got to put time into God's word. You got to put your effort into it. Just don't pray, God, give me contentment, make me happy. Probably ain't going to work. He probably wants you to do a little bit more than that. Remember, y'all here for a purpose. We're here for a purpose. I'm going to get Daryl to throw up a little saying, whatever I found. I don't know what the word is. Let that soak in. I put it up there because I can read it to you, and then because there's a lot of words in there. But you can't get no more truth than that. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to unleash the power of God to transform us into the image of God. Amen. Notice how that works? You want to take a picture? Take a picture of it. I'm telling you, that's right there. We can preach a whole sermon just on those words right there. The Spirit of God, it all ties in together. Be content in the place that God has you stationed at right now. Sorry about that word, station. I'm ex-DPA or DPS, so I'm used to military terms. Where you at? Where you be at right now? Be happy where you at. You're in Oak Hurst, Texas for a reason. You're in Full Gospel Church right now for a reason. Wherever you're doing in life, God has it for a reason. And we got to have faith and believe in that. So be happy with the place you're at and know you got contentment because of the power of God that strengthened you. So you got the power of it. And here's what's important. Here's where we miss the mark sometimes, me included. God also puts people in your life, if that person does what he's supposed to do, instead of the power of people, God has strengthened us and because the people of God to support you. Don't think you're out there by yourself. Don't think you're alone, or you shouldn't be. And Christians, let me throw church. You want to be a church? Let me tell you how to be a church. And so if you see your brother or sister in need or hurting, got a problem, got an issue, say something. Approach them. Make a phone call. Go visit. Not just a preacher. It's expected of the preacher. You know, I heard Paul Cherry say in his pulpit and stuff, everybody expects a preacher to do something. And that's fine. But God wants everybody to do something. Yep. Everybody. And just a simple handshake, just the simple things can go a long way with people. Just simple, small things. When the promise of God sustains you, that's where our goal. That's where true contentment comes from. Philippians 4:19-20. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of the glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And I close with this here in a second. Contentment allows us to enjoy where we are rather than dwell where we want to be. You ever thought about that? You spend more time wishing you was somewhere else than where you are. Take advantage of where you're at and listen to God, why he has you there. Why are you there? Instead of worrying, I wish I was over there at the beach or whatever. Be content where you're at. And contentment also allows us to appreciate rather than to resent other people. Don't keep up with the Joneses. Ain't that old saying? Don't keep up with the Joneses. I heard a saying one time, I came into this world with nothing, and I managed to keep most of it. Be content of where you're at. Be content of what you got. Contentment enhances rather than dismisses God's reputation. Now, here's where this hits home to us Christian folk. If you're a Christian, listen to this. So if you are moaning and whining, why me, Lord? And so you don't have a good witness to other people. Other people, if you believe it or not, are watching everything you do as a Christian. If you handle your situations the way God wants you to handle the situation, that's a witness in itself to other people. And they say, man, he went through this issue here, and look how he handled that. They might not understand it yet, but that could be an opportunity to build that gap where you can witness to them and talk to them. Handle your situations, bad or good, the way God wants you and taught us how to do. And this is how you maintain it. When you're content, and this is how you maintain it. Regularly express gratitude to God. Whatever it is, and give it to God because he provided it for you. And I found this little, I thought this was kind of neat. Resist the oasis illusion. You know what an oasis is? You know, you see it on TV. I seen it on TV, but, you know, it looks like it's water, and they get there, and it's dirt. So same thing with us. Resist the oasis situation. The idea that when you arrive at a certain place, you will finally be satisfied. Only if I could get this promotion. Only if I could have his wife. Or only I've seen that happen before. But only if I could do this. Only if I could do that and stuff. But you never get there. You're never satisfied. So stay away from that. And then you have to adopt a purpose bigger than yourself, which is Christ-centered. It all right there. That's where it starts and begins, right there. With contentment. As the musicians come forward, get everybody to stand. I close and pray. Not close. I'm going to pray. Knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's the number one thing. Everything we talked about today, you have to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. When I get done praying, while they play, the altar's going to be open. If you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you come up here and talk with me. If you need to pray to God, if you need to renew yourself, or whatever you need to do, give it to Jesus right here at this altar, or right where you stand, whatever you feel comfortable doing. Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I'm going to end it right there. I got some more to talk about. We'll do it another day. Right now, I want us to focus on the Lord and salvation and prayer and what you need to do. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to hear your word and just guide and direct us in what you want each one of us to do, Lord. Be with us as we make decisions that need to be made. We pray, just give it to you, Lord, to turn it completely over to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Y'all need to come forward, y'all come forward.